On this most auspicious day, 30 years ago, in New York City, on the Lower East Side, Srila Prabhupada incorporated the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, properly known as ISKCON. Somehow or other, by the causeless mercy of the Lord, we have all contacted this movement. And by contacting this movement, established by Srila Prabhupada, we have come in direct contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the sweet, loving boy of Vrindavan, Govindadev, Krishna, Gopinath, Shamsundar. So we feel that we are very grateful for such fortune that we've received. So in times like this, when we're celebrating the founding of Srila Prabhupada's movement, we want to express our gratitude for how much mercy Srila Prabhupada has given us. Practically the whole world, Western world, if they have any understanding of Krishna at all, is due to ISKCON. In England, years ago, sometimes there were so many difficulties. So if someone, some famous nationalist of India, of England, who very much loved his country, he said, "England, with all thy faults, how I love you." So naturally, any country of this mundane world, being limited by the material energy, is full of faults. This is the nature of the jiva in this world. We have defects, imperfect senses, commit mistakes, subject to illusion, and the most problematic fault we have is cheating. Cheating, lying, not being honest. So obviously any governmental system or anything created by such a faulty person will be faulty. But this person said, "England, with all thy faults, how I love you." So he accepted there may be some faults, but still he loved his country of England. So we've seen in the growth of ISKCON, so many wonderful things have happened. So many glorious things. And those glorious and wonderful things happen by those devotees who stay very closely and tightly to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. And if something not nice happens, that is blamed on ISKCON or the members of ISKCON, it's because it is caused by those members who don't follow the teaching of Srila Prabhupada and are not actually following in his footsteps. There's Anukaran and Anusharan. Anusharan means to follow in footsteps. So some disciples, they like to imitate Prabhupada. And by doing so, they create calamity. And then other disciples, they don't want to follow at all. So they also create calamity for their family. Just like in a family, if one son, the family may be very good, very pious, very religious, very respected in the society, in the village, community, for their contribution to the village, maybe economic or welfare activities that family is doing. But then one son may appear in that family. And he may be like King Venu from Bhagavatam, 4th canto. He may be a rogue, a dacoit, gunda. And he can bring so much disgrace to that family. Although the family is not to blame, it is that individual person. Nevertheless, somehow or other, he has to be rectified. So sometimes we see that we are members of this large family of ISKCON, and over the last 20 years, which we've seen, or 30 years, which our seniors have seen, so much good is there, and so much bad also. Some bad. And on these days, we feel that Srila Prabhupada's movement, because of the nature of this age of fighting, is always being assailed. Always being assailed. Assailed means attacked. By so many forces. Prabhupada used to say that the proof of your preaching, if your preaching is successful, that means Maya will react. Maya will react and give you a hard time. Because your preaching means your self-purification. Your preaching means your distribution of Krishna consciousness to benefit the conditioned souls. So when you try to purify yourself of material existence, which means becoming attached to Krishna, and you try to purify other conditioned souls, Maya reacts. She reacts. Because she's a testing agent. She's a representative of the Lord. So she will test you. Do you really want to become pure individually? Are you really desirous to love Krishna and return to Krishna and completely, selflessly, purely serve your Gurudev? So she will test you. And then she will test your preaching. Are you really, want to preach? Are you really determined to please Lord Chaitanya in this way and alleviate the suffering of the masses? Are you motivated for your own personal aggrandizement? Are you actually, in the name of preaching, you're not really trying to help others? So in different ways, Maya will test, what is our sincerity? What is our real motive? Sometimes, Prabhupada said, people come to ISKCON with ulterior motives. Ulterior means hidden, secret motives, secret desire. They want fame, they want name, they want followers, they want money. And when they bring these contaminations into this movement, then calamity results. Either for them individually, because they don't actually become liberated, they don't actually attain Krishna consciousness. And then they may bring calamity to the movement. But this movement of Krishna consciousness will go on. And ISKCON is a very special movement. And we should appreciate it. Because it is easy to find fault. It is very easy to criticize. The right hand can criticize the left hand. Oh, why do you have dirt on you? Well, give me a chance. We're the same family. Even left hand of body is criticizing right hand of body. This is the nature of Kali Yuga. There's so much always fighting, always fault finding. But to appreciate someone or some entity or to be grateful, it's very difficult. It comes from a soft heart. Another problem we have is that we are very quick to judge what is right, what is wrong, but yet we don't really even follow. One of the biggest problems of the members of ISKCON is that we're not following the teachings of Srila Prabhupada. It is a fact that Srila Prabhupada gave us everything, but we have to examine ourselves, how are we following what he gave us? Are we actually following the teachings? Do we actually chant? I don't mean chant mindlessly or robotically, like a robot. We have this, automatronics or whatever, animatronics or something, some name. So we shouldn't be like animatronic japa. You know, some kind of Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Like a robot, you know, robot, some mech machine. But that's the problem. So you chant like that for 20 years, how can you expect? And then you criticize, oh, Prabhupada only taught Vaidhi Bhakti. But it's a fact that if one strictly follows Vaidhi Bhakti, even if you assume that argument, if one strictly follows Vaidhi Bhakti, he will come to the platform of Bhav. But it is difficult. But by mercy of Guru and strict following, one can also come to the platform of Bhav. This is a fact by Vaidhi, but it's difficult. But Prabhupada didn't only teach Vaidhi, he also taught Raghunuga Bhakti. He taught pure loving service of Krishna. And for those that actually follow the path of Vaidhi, they can see all the secrets in Prabhupada's books and how to actually unfold the lotus of their heart, actually how to develop their love for God. Prabhupada didn't leave this mission incomplete. But there's nothing incomplete about this mission except the members in the mission. Incompleteness is due to our lack of following. Jai Radha Partha Sarthi Ki. Perfection means perfect. Today, yesterday, tomorrow. So this ISKCON movement is actually perfectly arranged. Otherwise it would not be accepted by every jiva in every country and all over the world. This is a transcendental movement. And we must become transcendental members of this movement. How does one become a transcendental member? He very seriously accepts those things that are favorable for Krishna consciousness. And he rejects those things that are unfavorable. We allow ourselves in the name of maturity. We allow ourselves in the name of maturity, or saying, I'm an older devotee, to get involved with all sorts of maya. Oh, I'm a senior devotee. I can do this. I can do that. I can deviate to the right or to the left. But until one becomes liberated, there's no question of compromising the strict rules and regulations. You see in a movement which you things you never saw 20 years ago during Prabhupada's time. Everyone reading newspapers. In some of our temples, they get a newspaper for every department. And some departments get 2 or 3 newspapers a day. The biggest sale of the newspaper man is when he comes to ISKCON, he gets 50 newspapers. What is this? And so then that same person, he jumps up and down, oh, Prabhupada didn't give us everything. When Prabhupada would give initiation in the beginning, Jayavataka Swami Maharaj told us, he would require the devotees to read the Bhagavad Gita 10 times. And he explained how when he read it, he would put a little pencil mark in the front, in the, inside the dust jacket, what do you call it, the end papers, where it's, when you open a book, it's called end papers. He would put 1, 2, 3, 4/5. After he read Gita 5 times. And then 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times. The Prabhupada said we should read Gita 10 times, according to him, Jayavataka Swami Maharaj, senior devotee, and we should read first canto of Bhagavatam 3 times. Of course, we read everything, but these things. And then we're qualified for first initiation. Because by doing that, it creates some faith. So we may ask ourselves, have I read Bhagavad Gita once? We read so many books, but we have no foundation. So ISKCON, actually, if we examine it, it's perfectly constructed. Prabhupada gave us everything from A to Z. He didn't give us only beginner's books, or books of Vaidhi Bhakti. He gave us the highest books, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And Krishna reciprocates, Tesham Satata Yuktanam, Bhajatam Priti Purvakam, Dadami Buddhi Yogantam, Yenamam Upyantite. He says that I give intelligence to understand, there's no secret, everything is in the mantra, Hare Krishna mantra. If you chant Hare Krishna purely, you actually see your sarup. You'll see the sarup of your spiritual master, you'll see Krishna. You don't need any thousands of one outside instructions, thousands of one books. But who sits tightly and chants purely? Prabhupada stressed over and over again, but we've stepped over all the beginning instructions and thinking, yes, I'm mature, I'm advanced. I can chant on a clicker, some kind of metal thing, a robot japa or something. It's part of the robot job. You know, you have a robot heart and a little thing. Chuk, 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 chuk. No, Tulsi Mala. And avoid offenses. We don't even know, we don't remember what the offenses are. We become entangled in all these things. Prabhupada taught pure bhakti. And there are many members of Krishna conscious movement. There are many members and disciples of Srila Prabhupada and grand disciples who are attaining perfection. They're attaining self-realization. And it's not just by, well, they're fortunate or they're special. They're simply strictly adhering to the lotus feet of their spiritual master and the principles that Prabhupada gave in ISKCON. We should be proud of ISKCON. The pure ISKCON is represented. Nowadays, everyone says, oh, this thing, especially in India, where there's so much criticism, there's no appreciation. It's like the boy grows up, and his mother feeds him for his whole life. Then as soon as he gets big enough to drive a car and walk out, he says, ah, my mother, she's no good. He starts cursing his mother. She, you know, she this and that, and hair, the color of her hair, and the way she walks, and this and that. All kinds of petty criticisms that the son may give to the mother. Where's the gratitude? Where's the appreciation? And this is the nature of Maya. Maya has two potencies, throwing potency and covering. Throws you into illusion and keeps you covered there. With what? With forgetfulness. We forget, oh, my mother was actually very good to me. Actually, it all began with my mother. My whole famous history as a great politician began with my mother and father, lest I forget. How can I not appreciate them? The culture, the nourishment, the nurturing, the education, the protection, the maintenance they gave me. But this is the nature of Maya. When one gets into this aparad man, this offensive mentality, immediately forgets. He forgets the sense of reality. Reality is something that goes through 3 phases of time. Past, present, and future. Reality is eternally existing. So we forget our past. Oh, actually, now I'm a very advanced devotee. I'm studying, I'm following so many intimate teachings. And because we start to lose our gratitude or become offensive, we forget, well, where did it all start? Where did my fantastic advancement start? And And where did I begin as a big devotee? Well, actually, it started when I got a book of Srila Prabhupada 10 years ago. Somewhere, somehow, I contacted ISKCON. And that's when it all began. But we forget due to Maya. And then 10 years later, we're cursing ISKCON and finding fault in so many things. Prabhupada in the Bhagavatam, in the 10.1 Bhagavatam, one purport, he said the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, has taken birth within the womb of the ISKCON movement. Now try to digest that. Try to understand that. The Supreme Personality of Godhead usually takes birth in the womb of Yashoda, or Devaki, Vasudeva Krishna, and Devaki, and Yashodananda, and Yashoda. Dui Bhuj, two arm form. So he's saying that Krishna, that Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, that beautiful Lord, he's born, took birth in ISKCON 30 years ago. Of course, Krishna never gets older than 15, 15 and a half, 16. So although externally it looks like Krishna, ISKCON is 30 years old, but ISKCON's only Navayovanam. Navayovanam, eternally youthful. So this means that there's something very special about ISKCON. Very wonderful. And we are... I mean, nowadays you find so much criticism. I mean, it's actually, you'll meet different acharyas, you'll meet very senior disciples of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, and they're disciples of their disciples, are, you could say, cousins, brothers in one sense. And some of them will say, oh, how can you stay in ISKCON? How can you stay in ISKCON? But then others that have equal prestige or prominence, they will say, never leave ISKCON. Stay with your Gurudev. How can you leave your Gurudev? So there you have very exalted personalities praising and encouraging solidarity and remaining. You have very exalted personalities criticizing or finding some fault and encouraging departure. So how does the disciple balance everything? It depends on the depth of his realization, of his gratitude and his appreciation. If one is transcendental, one of the qualities of a transcendental personality is dharya. Dharya means patience. He tries to see the hand of the Lord in everything. And especially he sees how Krishna has picked me up out of illusion through the means of ISKCON. Most of us have been picked up out of illusion, out of the cycle of birth and death by ISKCON. So that gratitude can never be forgotten. That debt can never be paid. Because that is the first extension of Krishna's kripa. Krishna's mercy comes through all spiritual masters. Krishna's kripa comes through all pure spiritual movements. But most of us, our first contact with the mercy of Krishna came through Srila Prabhupada's movement. So much we should appreciate. Forever. And that's like your mother. Do you ever throw your mother away? Just like... Hear this example. A prime minister of a country, he flies off for international business, there may be war with another country. This is a situation, just happened. And while he's there with his ministers and discussing what to do about this possibility of war with a foreign nation, in the middle of all these meetings about to begin, he gets a phone call from a distant place. Oh, your mother died. So then he has so much appreciation and love and gratitude for his mother. He tells everyone, stop the meetings, stop the war, don't invade or invade, but I have to go back home and take care of my mother's funeral. This just happened in the place we're sitting in. So this shows you that international politics, country, fame, possibility of war has nothing to do with the intensity of relationship that a son and love the son has for his mother. Even in this age. So this ISKCON is like mother. We say there's seven mothers in society. One is the wife of the guru. And one is the guru patni. And the other is the bhumi mata. And then the other is the brahmani, the wife of the brahman. And then the indatri, the nurse. So if you analyze ISKCON from any aspect, ISKCON is also mother. Bhumi is our mother because she's holding us up. She's giving us foundation. So what is holding us up, the foundation, the very basis, the foundation of our spiritual life is ISKCON. ISKCON is our Bhumi Mata. She's supporting us from the very beginning. And a dhatri, a nurse, she nourishes the baby by continually giving her milk if the original mother is dry. So ISKCON is always nourishing us with prasadam, with mahotsavs, festivals. ISKCON is our dhatri. And the wife of the guru, this is Prabhupada's wife, this is his life. Because vidyavadu jivanam, vidyavadu jivanam, we say vidyavadu, the wife of knowledge. So vadu. So this ISKCON is also the wife of knowledge. It's nourishing us with knowledge. As Mahaprabhu says, Cheto Darvana Marjanam Bhava Mahadavagni Nirvapanam, says Vidya Vadu. Vadu means wife. So in so many ways, ISKCON is our mother. And how can we neglect our mother? On these days we want to count our blessings and worship ISKCON and worship Srila Prabhupada. And actually, when ISKCON is attacked, we should take that as an attack on my devotion. Someone attacks ISKCON, we should say, oh, I haven't become pure yet. I'm not following enough. Because if everyone in this movement was a pure devotee of the Lord, how could anyone criticize? If everyone in this movement was completely pure, then if they criticize, their noses would fall off in 3 days. It's like Gopal Chappal. He criticized Haridas Thakur and said, what is this chanting out loud? This is it. And his nose fell off from leprosy. So this is when someone criticizes, you say, yes, you're right, I'm at fault. I'm not pure. Thank you for reminding me. Let me become a pure representative of Srila Prabhupada. Let me become a pure representative of this movement. You may criticize the movement, but how can you criticize the individuals? But what happens is that people, they lump everything together. Oh, ISKCON is all this. It's not very good. It is not the proper mood. Srinadapi sunichena tuoriva sahishna. Amanina amanidena kirtaniya sadahari. Mahaprabhu taught us that, why are you fault-finding? Look within, see the problems within yourself. The person who's saying that ISKCON's this and ISKCON's that, is he free? Is he pure? Is he a pure devotee? How can we find fault with others as long as we're still in the material world? Being in the material world means we're full of kam and krodh and love and moha and matsarya, especially moha. We're full of so much illusion, we can't even see the tip of our nose. We can't see straight. But yet we're quick to pass judgment like Yamaraj, judging all the living entities. We are very fortunate. So let us combine together to try to improve it. Improving ISKCON means improving me. The problem with ISKCON is me. Just like in, famous president of America, he said, don't try to ask what the country can do for you, ask what you can do for the country. Something like that. Yeah, Kennedy. At any rate, someone. And he said, so his mood was, well, someone points out problems with ISKCON, we should think, well, the problem's with me. Because I never really realized Prabhupada's teachings. I didn't even realize the first thing where he said, please chant without offense. Please chant purely and just see what will await you. See what will happen. I haven't even done that yet. I've been chanting mindless, inattentive japa for 30 years, 20 years, 10 years, 8 years. And yet I expect to snap my fingers and be in a Nikunj Lila. Not so easy. But Prabhupada gave us the fast way. He always said, I want to give you the fast way, the jet plane. They say, newspaper reporter said, Srila Prabhupada, the jet age Paribrajakacharya. He's wandering here and there, but by jet, like all the acharyas now flying everywhere. Gaudiya mission, our mission, everyone's flying. Jet age swamis. It was necessary to cover the whole world. So Prabhupada gave us a jet age fast process. So in days like this, we can examine, well, ISKCON's 30 years old. Well, how many years have I been in this movement? One third of the movement? If I've been in for 10 years, it means I've been in for one third. Or 20 years, two thirds. Or 30 years, the whole time. But when a fruit sits on a tree, it must become ripe. Unless it falls off the tree. If the mango's on the tree, it's green, okay. But if it stays on the tree, properly oriented towards the sun and keeps its relationship with the tree, then it becomes ripe mango, no doubt. It's a matter of ripening, maturing. It's a time factor. So this ISKCON, Prabhupada said, is the branch of the tree of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya's tree has many branches. There's not only one branch. There's many branches. And if you're on one of those branches, you're one of the limbs and one of the little twigs, and you're a fruit hanging on one of those branches, stay on the tree of Lord Chaitanya, and you'll get the fruit. You'll become ripe and sweet and fragrant and attractive and appealing and pure. It's not that you have to go to another limb. When the fruit's hanging on the branch, he doesn't say, oh, this branch is not good. No, the branch is connected to the trunk, and the trunk is connected to the roots. So he's not, oh, I have to go to another branch now. No, all branches will bear fruit, depending on the strength of the tree. So we're on a branch of Lord Chaitanya's tree. The root of this tree is the desire of Lord Chaitanya. The root of this tree is the soil of Vrindavan. The root of this tree is the lotus feet of Radha Govinda. Prabhupada worshipped Radha Govinda, and he took them out of his heart and took them all around the world. So you worship Radha Govinda too. In New York, Calcutta, and then different names are there, but Radha Govinda there, the Ishtadev, for the Gaudiya Sampradaya. But how much are we really cultivating our love for Radha Govinda? So many things we're cultivating, so many weeds. Prabhupada didn't want that. He wanted a pure garden, free from all weeds, just bhakti, lata, everywhere. And we can jump up and down ISKCON. We distributed 500 million books, which I guess almost they've done. So many temples and so many things. It's very nice. But we should strengthen ourselves individually to not be affected by criticism in a way that you direct the criticism towards the movement you're in. It's like biting your own hand. You don't bite the hand that feeds you. Your mother's feeding you, you bite her fingers. The Prabhupada's feeding us so nicely. We don't read the books. We don't follow the program. We want to be in the highest form, highest platform of self-realization, because we're so lazy. We don't want to do any bhakti at all. We want to just say, oh, this is nice. We just do this advanced type of devotional service. This is the problem with Kali Yuga. Everyone is so lazy. Can't get up. Oh, I'm sick. My stomach hurts. My back hurts. I can't go to Mangalarti. Such weakness. But Prabhupada, when he started, he gave so much strength to devotees. And they were so strict. We should examine ourselves. I'm weak. The problem with this, they say a chain, they have an expression, a chain is only as strong as the weakest link. You know, there's link. This is called link. Link, dink, dink. That's a chain. So you have a chain, you're locking up your suitcase on the train, right? Some chain. But if one of those links is, Indian steel or something, and not very good, kind of weak, in one of those pieces of metal, you can just bend it with your fingers and open it. And once you open it, then your chain is broken. Someone steals your lakh of rupees in your suitcase. So every link has to be strong, then the chain is strong. So each of us is a link on the chain of ISKCON. If you want the chain of ISKCON to be strong and go around the whole world and tie up the whole world with prema bhakti, then we have to be strong links in that chain. But if one link is weak, then it opens up and people escape. We escape from the loving embrace of Prabhupada's movement, and the living entities escape from the mercy expression of this movement throughout the world. So we must become a strong link in that chain. Prabhupada wants to garland the whole world with prema. He came to teach Krishna prema. Do we have it? Have we attained it? Have we even seen it? So when are we going to get it? 99 years from now? 10 lifetimes? So this is we say the glory of India, the glory of India project. But this is such a wonderful movement that it's so easy to immediately say there's so many problems. Okay, but we're the problem. They say if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. They have these phrases. If you're not part of the solution, then you're part of the problem. This is a pure spiritual movement established by a pure devotee of the Lord with pure goals and pure teachings. And by purely following, Prabhupada said purity is a force. If we purely follow, very quickly we'll make advancement to the goal of pure love. Pavatram, bhavam. We want to attain that pure abode of the spiritual world. We must become pure. ISKCON is pure. The movement is pure. Prabhupada's teachings are pure. But the contamination of the movement is us. We're bringing all the problems. We bring all our problems, and we just infect everybody else with them and infect the world with them. We hear that so many times. Some devotee goes off and does some stupid, independent, materialistic thing, and then it comes in the paper, ISKCON devotee does this thing and that thing. And then everyone gets a bad name. And everybody says, oh, you're an ISKCON, right? Well, yeah, I guess so. And everyone would get a little embarrassed and say, well, yeah, I've heard about it. You want to, like, change your cloth or somehow? No, what makes you think I'm an ISKCON? Well, I just read the paper about this devotee, did that thing, this thing, that thing. Those aren't devotees. Those aren't members of ISKCON. Anyone who does crime and dacoity and gundism, it's not ISKCON, it's not a member of ISKCON, it's a Kali Chela. It's a disciple of Kali. This movement, Srila Prabhupada coined this phrase, he said, the materialists are feeling the weight of this movement. So the newspapers are representing Ravana. The newspapers are representing Kamsa. So Kamsa and Ravana, they don't like the weight of Ram. They don't like the weight of Ram Raja or Krishna Bhagavan. They want to destroy Krishna, destroy Ram. So when this movement is pushing forward, the newspapers are the weapon of Maya. They are the weapon of Ravana and of Kamsa. So then they say, oh, we must stop this movement. We must create defamation. We must divide. Divide and conquer. Defamation. Disrespect. We must turn the people against this ISKCON. Because people are flying into this ISKCON movement. All over the world, there's so many cell groups and so many congregations and ISKCON forums. So Ravana is getting uptight. Kamsa is getting uptight. He's getting nervous and anxious. Oh, I'm losing so many of my loyal subjects. So many of my loyal subjects are not serving lust, anger, and greed anymore. Now they're going to serve the lotus feet of Govinda and becoming pure. I must stop them. So they find one devotee that hasn't chanted a round in 20 years, and he just, you know, goes off somewhere and does something, and they make a huge front page headline, ISKCON devotee does this and that. It is a tactic of Maya to stop this movement, which is a proof of how much forward progress ISKCON is making, how much influence and change it's creating in the world. That's a proof, as I mentioned earlier, because Maya is reacting. And the littlest thing, some little nobody can get on the front page of an international newspaper. How? Because he's connected with this movement, ISKCON. If you're a member of this thing, that thing, this samaj, that samaj, you'll never get a newspaper. Never in 100 years. You could do anything. If you're a member of some family, the Agarwal family, you'll never get a newspaper. But if you have anything to do with ISKCON, you'll get in the front page of the New York Times. And you'll be on the evening news all over the round, satellite TV. ISKCON machine gun, ISKCON bazooka, ISKCON airplane, ISKCON bombs. ISKCON, dacoity, smuggling, everything. ISKCON, ISKCON. Question, is ISKCON mafia or what? You know, all these big debates they have, it's all nonsense. Because they're threatened, so they'll say anything. Just like when a man is under duress or under difficulty, he just blabs anything, blah, 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 when he's frightened. So don't be affected by the petty words of the public. But when sadhus or saintly persons, if they find some fault, then we should take it seriously. Let me look at myself. The fault lies with me, not with you. I am at fault. Let me correct myself. Let me be repentive and beg the Lord for His mercy and make this movement pure. So many times in the last 20 years, we could have walked out of this movement. So many godbrothers, good friends went this way, that way. It's a lot easier to leave. When something gets difficult, it's easier to leave, just like in a family. A husband and wife are fighting left and right and center. It's easy to hop in your car and leave. The hard thing to do is to compromise, is to work it out, is to stay together. Because this is the age of division. This is the age of separation. This is the age of fighting. This is the age of quarrel. So if you examine any combination of people or institution, you must find always an opportunity for division, and quarrel and fighting and hypocrisy, because that is what this age is made of. Kali is made of that. So members of one family are always getting divided against each other, fighting against one another. So ISKCON is meant to harmonize the world, unify the world around the principles of God consciousness, Krishna consciousness. The wonderful, beautiful person, Krishna. So this is our mission. become pure devotees of the Lord and give our purity, give Krishna to others. It's a wonderful movement. You may lead this movement, but the movement won't leave this world. You may lead this movement and stand on the outside, oh, this, they did this to me, and they did that to me, and they, and they, and they. What about you? What did you ever do? Did you ever do anything good? So that is unfortunate, because we should support this movement. We're part of it. And we stay inside and we purify it, and we become exemplary, proper devotees, proper representatives of our grandfather, or great-grandfather, or father. Then the movement will become glorious. If we individually become glorious devotees, the movement will become glorious. If there's any infamy, if there's any infamy to the movement, it's due to us. So we feel so bad when our father gets dragged down. But it's an interesting thing, you'll see. No matter how many articles, we've been looking in newspaper, not, we don't read newspaper at all, but we see articles about Prabhupada or ISKCON. You'll never, at least to date, we haven't seen, and you'll never see anything bad spoken about Prabhupada. Even if there's an article where they say so much bad about the ISKCON followers and the movement, they say, anyway, the Swamiji, he was a good person. He was serious, but after he left... Prabhupada, no matter who they are, communist newspapers, socialistic newspapers, who they are, somehow they have some respect and regard for Srila Prabhupada. It's us that bring the infamy to the family of ISKCON, not our founder, not our Gurudev. So we should bring glory to his movement by our behavior. Our preaching is our behavior. There is no philosophy without behavior. If you are not behaving purely and nicely, then you don't know anything about philosophy. Devotee should be a temple of humility. Each devotee in this movement should be a temple of humility, a temple of respect, a temple of compassion, a temple of love, spiritual love and concern for others. We should be a walking temple. So when people come into us, come into our association, they will get these things. They will receive humility and compassion and love of God. And we mark our body, this is a temple. So many places, 12 bodies, to signify that my body is so many temples, right? 12, each place there's Vishnu, Krishna, Damodar. So this is a temple, the temple of my arms, the temple of my back, the temple of my forehead. So our body is a temple. That's what Prabhupada built, temples for people to come into, but he created devotees that should be temples also. Mandira Shraya. They should be Ashraya Mandirs. We should give shelter. This is the mission of ISKCON. Prabhupada, you write in the mission, there's the mission statement of ISKCON. It says to erect for society at large an institution or a mission where everyone can come and develop love of God and live peacefully and cooperatively in a divine atmosphere of harmony and sharing and cooperation. This is ISKCON. Not backbiting and fighting and one brother stabbing the other brother and knocking out the other brother and cheating on the other brother or sister. This is not ISKCON. Let us examine ourselves, become pure and serious. Then ISKCON, as we become glorious in our behavior and transcendental and spiritual in our activities and dealings, then ISKCON automatically becomes glorious and respected. That's what Prabhupada wanted. We have no preparation for our talk. We're rather surprised that we were asked to speak, being junior member here, somehow or other, this was to be said. But we only want to leave this movement one time. Everyone should leave this movement once, when you go back to Godhead. And then there's a Prabhupada, one time they asked Prabhupada, is there an ISKCON in the spiritual sky? Prabhupada said, he looked, yes. So maybe there is, maybe there's not. Definitely Prabhupada is there, and all the pure devotees are there. So if we're going to leave the movement, leave it once, when you go back to Prabhupada and go back to the spiritual world. And be broad-minded. Prabhupada wanted brahmanas. He didn't want robots. Thinking, deep thinking individuals, broad-minded, sincere personalities. So we have to study and understand everything, not immediately judge something or immediately speak up something crazy, because we can't see everything. Our vision, we don't know how things are unfolding, how things are progressing. We're very limited by our structure and nature. But if we're a little patient, as I mentioned, everything becomes adjusted properly. Something that's true lasts forever. Something that's false soon falls apart. This movement is not false. It is true. And it will last forever. 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, and now it's the 30th, so maybe we'll be here for the 50th anniversary, 60th anniversary. It will go on. Because the foundation of principles, it's based on purity. What is the force of an individual spiritual life? His purity. The more he becomes pure, the more he goes forward. What is the force of this movement? Purity is the force. Okay, books are the basis. Preaching is the essence, utility is the principle, but those don't mean anything without purity. You can pile up books to the Swargaloka, but if there's no purity, nothing will happen with those books. No one will open them until they meet a pure devotee. They'll just sit there. So we have to become pure devotees, so people say, wait a minute, who is this personality? Oh, I just met. Extraordinary person. Unusual. Different from everyone else I've ever met in this world. And how has he become like that? And he says, oh, it's in these books. Read these books. Well, I have those books at home. So then by meeting that pure devotee, then everything begins. So purity is the force of ISKCON. The more we become pure individually, the more this movement will forcefully and purely go on to perfection, to help the whole world, which Prabhupada wanted. There's only 300 temples in the world. There should be 3,000 by now. We're very tiny. What, compared to Prabhupada's vision, there should be 30,000 temples. There should be 5 billion temples, ultimately. There's 5 billion people on this planet, and everyone must become a temple. A temple of prema bhakti. Krishna prema. This is what it's about. It's not about position or fame or anything else. We don't want any of those things. We keep in focus. What am I here for? Am I here to be adored or worshipped? Oh, you're big this, you're big that, you did this, you did that. That's the material world. But we're here to become humble servants of the Lord. Become His loving eternal associates. In the sweet realm of Vrindavan. To live eternally with the pure devotees and with our gurus. In a divine relationship of affection with the Lord. As parent, as friend, as lover. This is the meaning of ISKCON. Nothing less than that. So, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Prabhupada ISKCON Movement ki. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness ki. ISKCON Savarbhav Mahotsav Titi ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Tai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo.